Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Running Wild Podcast. I'm your co-host, Rich. Alongside me, as always, co-host Runs.
Yes, sir.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, just before we get started, I want to remind you that we're brought to you in partnership with LastWearInProWrestling.com, PWPonderings.com, and RingOfHonorWorld.com. We're also featured on the Wrestling to the Max Network. All right. So with that out of the way, holy... I don't even know how we begin this the bright way, because... we have to cover so much. I mean, we can't really talk match by match of anything, really. Just kind of our thoughts, I think, overall of the shows throughout the weekend. And then and Raw and SmackDown and NXT and 205 Live and the news of a new show coming in the fall and a new tournament for the summer.
There's a new show.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll just kind of like start with the easy news and notes. 205 on 205 Live, Trent Seven, Tyler Bate, Pete Dunne. I know I'm forgetting. Oh, Wolfgang.
The UK guys.
Yeah, the UK guys came on the stage, and I think it was announced like basically they'll be touring with NXT when NXT's in London later this year, or in England, whatever. And that later this fall there will be an NXT UK. I mean, WWE UK show, so they've confirmed.
Right, I mean, that was the, you know, that was like the goal at the beginning of the whole tournament was to eventually have their own show, and whether that's run like through ICW or Progress or something like that, that remains to be seen. But we'll see.
So there's that, and then the other news was that they made the announcement that they're going to have a 32-participant women's tournament this summer. So it'll be interesting. I wonder if Summer Rae's going to be there, because in the Superstar Shake-Up poster, she's not there, so kind of weird. She even tweeted something out like, what?
Yeah, like she's
on the roster, but
somehow
she's,
I don't think so.
She's not part of the Shakedown. I don't know.
She's not really on the roster. But I found it interesting that Taylor Hendricks departed Ring of Honor like right as this news kind of came out, right? Like she was one of the first people that I kind of thought of to be in this. Maybe I'm wrong, but
oh yeah, she's got to be in it. I would say. I know that it's not. I don't think it's related, but Veda Scott is going to be in it. I think 100%. And it'll be interesting to see who's in it that already hasn't had ties to WWE. I mean, you figure Crazy Mary Dobson, who's also Ring of Honor at one point, she'll be there. She hasn't been called up yet. There were actually rumors the other day that she got released, but that's not true at all. So she actually came out and was like, I don't know what everyone's saying, but that's not what happened. Unrelated to women, my favorite mustache in the WWE is gone. Simon Gotch was granted his release.
Thank God.
I can't wait to see him.
From everything, from everything I've heard about that guy, he's a douche. And I'm sure he deserved to get fired, and I'm sure it was time. They were done with him.
I want to be clear that the view that the Runs' views right now are not the views of Running Wild Podcast, so that if in the future Mr. Gotch is anywhere where we get to talk to him...
No, I don't want it. He's not allowed. From the stuff like Jericho, didn't Jericho punch him? Kalisto or Sin Cara punched him? Ryback always talks about how he's just not a nice person. He's just an asshole. Nope. No thanks. You're not welcome here.
Yes, you are. All right, so I think we're just trying to postpone the inevitable. Where do we even start here?
There is one place to start and one place alone, and that is Shinsuke Live on Tuesday nights. I watched it four times, like when I came home from work today. It's just, man.
You're gonna hate me. Can I be nitpicky here?
You didn't wrestle?
Look, yeah, or do or say anything, or, you know, it was just
he doesn't need to.
Okay, he doesn't. Okay, like, I get he's too cool. Like, he's almost like so cool he doesn't need words, right? I'm fine with that. What I'm saying is, like, it could have I felt like there needed to be something. Like, if you're not, I know this is weird, and anyone listens to this podcast and think I'm an idiot, but if you're not somebody who watches NXT and you don't watch New Japan, you just got this weird guy with odd bone structure.
Nope. Just that. No. Because if you don't know who he is, as soon as he comes out and the crowd goes bananas, it's over. You're like, oh, shit. Okay, this guy's dope. And then you see what he's doing on his way to the ring and the violin. He's amazing. Just all he needs to do is come out and have the people sing his song and go bananas. That's all he needed to do. And that's it. Yes, of course, a match, a brawl, anything would have added to it, but he doesn't need it.
But then why do it? Like, they did the dark match. They did it as a dark match.
Right.
Like, he faced Ziggler. So, like, why can't we see that? Why can't everyone see in his debut how good this guy is?
Because you will, eventually.
All right. I mean, I don't want to nitpick it too much. It's just the only, like, I'm saying.
I have no problem with them teasing. Like, he'll probably wrestle someone next week. But I have no problem with them holding him off till the pay-per-view. You know what I mean? Like, just, we know he can wrestle. If you don't know, then go back and watch NXT. It's on the network. You have it. You know? So, I just think if you don't know, you'll find out. And if you do know, you don't need to see it right now. Just wait.
All right. Fair enough.
He came out with The Miz, right? He interrupted The Miz. So, maybe that'll be the first thing we get. They didn't really have any interaction. Miz left the ring right away. So we'll see what happens there. But if they go that way, I'm a little worried for The Miz's life, because I'm not sure he's ready for Shinsuke.
No, I think he'll get destroyed. Like, legit,
but
destroyed, because he doesn't know which way Shinsuke is going to move. Type thing.
He's going to catch a knee. Something. Oh, man.
So we're going backwards. You want to hit something else on SmackDown?
No. I want to stay right on Shinsuke Nakamura. Just stay here forever. This will be the greatest thing in a long, long time. Seriously.
The greatest thing.
Him and AJ, SummerSlam, WrestleMania, something. Man. My God.
Well.
Him and Cena.
Because I have to put it out there, because you seem to be not. The greatest thing that I saw in the last week was Glacier posing with Ethan Page. And Mortal Kombat music playing. And then fight, all right? Dink in a ring, all right? Dink, the real dink, okay? And on top of that, Marty, pardon my French, fucking Jannetty.
And then, okay, so you want to talk about something that's not, you know, clearly everyone knows, not even close.
Joey Janela Spring Break.
Then you leave out the best part of that, which was the Invisible Man. Ethan Page and throwing him out of the ring into that was one of the best things. That was hilarious.
What's better?
It was like that, the slow motion PWG.
I was gonna say, yeah.
The slow motion PWG is better, but because I'd never seen the Invisible Man, it was pretty awesome. The first time I saw slow motion, it was fantastic. But the Invisible Man, like, Ethan Page was selling the punches and, you know, throwing them into the buckle. Then when he, you know, Tope Suicida into everyone. Yeah, man, that was great stuff.
It's so great how I gotta give credit to everybody who wrestled the Invisible Man, in that their selling was so good that I know this sounds crazy, but it felt like somebody was really doing
right.
It. Okay, yes, you know, like, 100%. Kudos to all those guys. I mean, does it slightly expose wrestling, right? You know, in some ways, yes. But they're actually so good that it didn't, like, I didn't stop.
That whole show exposed pro wrestling.
But yeah, but I didn't stop and go, this is ridiculous.
And, you know, this is exactly what makes us enjoy wrestling so much, and sometimes makes it hard to defend, but it can go from the Invisible Man and slow motion comedy spots to the Shinsuke Nakamura's and the AJ's and Taker. You know what I mean? And there is such a wide scale, and Chikara, or, you know, that kind of stuff exists, and there are a load of fans for it. So it's awesome that you can watch both of those things happen in back-to-back nights and still enjoy everything.
I mean, from that, there's so many great things. I thought the Evolve shows were really good.
Hold on, before we get to the Evolve, we have to talk about the shit show that was Janela and Jannetty. And that was, it got really, really bad. Vincent came out in a mask, and Marty Jannetty didn't know.
Why even say Vincent? If he was Why on do his that to
side.
People?
I'm sorry, Virgil came out in a mask. I don't know. Jannetty didn't know what side he was on. He turned him around, pulled off the mask, was ready to punch him, and you could see Virgil like, yo, yo, yo. No, like, I'm with you. And they just kind of awkwardly, they tossed him out of the ring. And man, Chuck Taylor on commentary was the best part. Just like, what the hell is going on here?
But see, okay. I understand. To me, that show is all about being ridiculous. Okay?
No. But
I got to see a rocker dropper. You know, like, I just, to see Jannetty, I just wanted to see certain things. I didn't really overall care.
But there's a fine line between ridiculous and bad. Like, the Invisible Man is ridiculous and great. The Jannetty, just awkward, not knowing what to do, slowing down the match, messing up the promo. That Joey Janela is one of the best in the world. God bless him, and he's going to be a world champion for a long time. He has no idea what he's talking about. And then I wrestled in front of a lot of crowds. You guys are the best. No, that's like, even Chuck Taylor was like, "Oh, that's a bold-faced lie." it was incredible, man. Like, after the match, Excalibur said, "You know, well, that was something that we all witnessed together, and we'll never see anything like that ever again. I'm sure of it." So, it was really bad.
But I guess that's, for me, like, the uncomfortableness of how almost, like, that's what made it amazing to me. Like, that show made me feel so many things. That sounds terrible. Okay. But I'm really, if you have Flow Slam, there's absolutely no reason for you to, you know, to miss the show. Get yourself
you might
a couple,
as well check it out if you have a couple hours.
Get yourself a couple beers, do what you gotta do, sit there in your recliner, pop this show on, and just enjoy the ridiculousness. Alright? There were dudes in dresses, alright? Everyone was dressed like Spring Break. There was a beach.
Right, top to bottom, it was pretty.
Yeah, and the lasers.
It was a spectacle.
Yeah, kudos to WWN for those lasers. I really liked
that
them.
That was awesome.
I think it.
Can bring us to the Evolve.
Yeah. So, Evolve 80, you know, you had, it started off with Galloway and Riddle in a, like, no-holds-barred match. And Galloway ends up pile-driving Riddle through the table and then throws him back inside. It's a Future Shock, gets the pin in, like, a really quick match. I thought it was a little odd. It was 7 minutes. I was a little, I know that they were going, you know, I guess it makes sense that they're kind of building towards the WWE and Super Show, but it just felt weird to just put him down so easily.
Yeah, I mean, like, they went through the table and everything. Like, they had a nice brawl that was pretty quick, so it didn't feel like 7 minutes. You know, that was kind of my thing, and I believe I said it on the predictions that Galloway was going to get the win, set up Riddle for the WWN match, which we'll get to in a minute, but. You know, I enjoyed these Evolve shows. The Keith Lee Ricochet was outrageous. Like, it, you know, that, please go watch that if you haven't. That match was just phenomenal. Ricochet is, there's nothing to describe him. You know, there's, I don't know, sometimes it's things he does. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was awesome. Clash of Styles, they had awesome chemistry, and it was a really fun match.
I mean, that just, wow.
Probably,
I mean,
the best from both shows.
Keith Lee,
that was the best match.
I feel, could easily be the person who had the best weekend and not appearing on WWE.
Yeah, and lost.
You know, like, so he lost. When I was laughing about it kind of earlier, was he lost, but what I think is amazing about him is he's such a credible threat that just because he lost two matches does not mean that this dude is in a slump, that he can't, you know, like...
You know, in WWE terms, it's like the Big Show. Like, anytime he comes back, he's the Big Show. He's a giant. He can kill you. It's believable. And, you know, Ricochet is one of the best there is right now. So losing to him in a amazing match, you know, that he loses nothing. He gains everything from that, you know?
And did you get to watch the Beyond show, Caffeine?
Some of it, yeah.
Because him and Dijak... was really good too. It's just amazing to watch this guy out there. And what I think is amazing about him is, you know, his persona is so clear without him really having any mic time.
Right. I really like the theme song. It's extremely catchy. I've been saying it all weeks. You know, there's some soldiers in here and some warriors too. It's just
yo,
in my head.
Yo, so. $1. You just got to hit up his Twitter, Real Keith Lee. All right? He's got KeithGLee@gmail.com or something like that. But go check out his Twitter first. And you can if you send him $1, you PayPal him $1, you can get the song. Just giving you a heads up. I have never paid for a wrestling theme song. And I just went to my PayPal account.
It just sounds like a steal, though.
There's no question here. Like, I'm going to get that song. So, especially for the drive down to Baltimore, I think we need to hear it a couple times.
I agree, even though he won't be there. But anyway, you know, I enjoyed all of those shows. It was a fun Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, watching everything. We can talk about Ring of Honor and then get into the big stuff.
All right. I'll ask you one question. So I'm not going to really count
Galloway,
this.
Right? Like you talk about.
Yeah. Anyway. I'm not going to count this in the equation. Like, WWN also on Flow Slam had the ACW and FIP, the part of the broken tailgate party. So I thought those shows are good. Honestly, like, what I admire most about those guys is it was a weird crowd. You know, it's outdoors. People were walking around and doing stuff. They were like, it was kind of cool though. They had chairs set up instead of the barricades, it seemed. Mm. I mean, not chairs, tables. And then people were sitting behind the tables. So it's like you're at a picnic almost watching wrestling. So it's a different atmosphere. And the guys, you know, they put it, and I know wrestlers do this all the time, right? But I don't see this a lot where they're killing themselves just like if there were 6,000 people there, and you know, it seemed like people were disinterested at some times, not because of the wrestling, but just because it was 95 degrees out and everything like that. But I thought that was cool. But were you excited for the Super Show? Like, for me, I was more excited about Evolve 81 because I just like Evolve, really. Like, I'm not really I've watched FIP and I've watched Style Battle, and oddly enough, in the last 6 months, I've watched a lot more than I had before of the WM product. But it still felt to me like the Super Show was, maybe it's because it was the Progress versus Evolve thing and I wasn't into it, but it just felt like if I had to rate the three shows, that's the bottom one for me.
Right. I mean, of all the shows that I wanted to watch and were on this weekend, that was the one that was the least important to me, but you know, they did a great job of making me not care about the WWE title match. You know, I like Riddle, I like Galloway going into it, but I don't like, I like Williams, but I don't really care. I don't really like Gay High. Like you said, the two guys from FIP, I didn't really care about. I knew they weren't going to win. So I got the concept of it, but you know, like you said, we're bigger fans of Evolve. And, you know, there's nothing you can do about that. But I did like, you know, I love Pete Dunne. I liked Mark Haskins. I liked the Progress guys that were on the show. But it just, there was NXT and ROH on at basically the same time. There was nothing I could do to watch it live. And then once I don't watch it live, kind of didn't care about it, you know?
Yeah, no, that's difficult. See, I have a little, to be honest, I just, have less exposure to those progress guys, and you know, I've seen them, but not so much so that I was dying to see those matches.
Right.
I don't.
Right. Like I said, if it was Sabre and Pete Dunne, like, I would have been dying to watch it.
But yeah.
Because they were in separate matches and their opponents didn't appeal to me, or seeing, you know, like I said, seeing that matchup didn't appeal to me that much. So it was whatever. But you know, Riddle won the WWE belt. Galloway was quote unquote injured and pulled from the match, even though we all saw him probably an hour later on NXT as Drew McIntyre. So seems like he has a heavy role in the NXT tapings last night, and I'm pretty ecstatic to see what happens with him going forward.
I mean, so I didn't get a chance to read the tapings, but I don't think we should bring them up yet because it seems like any of the spoilers. I will say, I don't know, it's so weird. I'm here to save Evolve from itself. Like, what is he going to say in Queens on April 22nd? Because he's going to be at that show.
It's going to be fantastic.
How? What is he going to be like? I have to go into the machine to save Evolve.
Right. That's exactly what I texted you right away. Was like, you know, in order to bring down the machine, I have to do it from the inside. Like, that's, I don't know what else to say. You know. Or he just says, like, you know what? There's no saving Evolve. You're all doomed. I'm getting out.
Or, you know, it would be funny if he just completely went like, I always told you I was the chosen one. Forget everything I've been saying. I'm going back.
Comes out to 3MB and shit.
Like, that would be more heel to just be like, yeah, bitches, I only did this to go back there.
I can't wait to see on Evolve, you know, April 22nd, but definitely can't wait to see him on NXT and doing things back there. Hopefully, if they treat him how he deserves to be treated, I think he'll find his place and he'll be fantastic.
I just wish that he could have wrestled in that match. Like, just to be in the audience.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where I just feel like he had a prior commitment. You know, the WWE just allowed these guys, like the Hardys, to fulfill 3 indie dates in like the next 3 weeks or so, something like that. You know, and they were like, the WWE has graciously allowed us, and one of them is the House of Hardcore show. If you're okay with that, does it really matter to anybody that the guy is sitting there at TakeOver before Mania in the crowd? Like, does showing up some other time later have the same effect? Not have the same effect?
I don't really know why they, you know, like, had him come and be on this show. I guess it's just because every big show they had Asuka or Bobby Roode or someone who was going to be showing up there soon. That's I guess the only reason.
Yo, Jinder and Heath must be so happy.
Yeah. I hope they keep him far, far away from them. Put him on SmackDown eventually. You know, just don't even address that. Just leave it alone.
What if he says he's trying to save NXT from itself? I just want to hear him yell in Scottish.
He says something on the NXT, like, you know, this is the place to be, the generic kind of thing.
But I can't. Yo, and he, this is not WrestleMania week. This is wrestling week. Really? Really, buddy? Because I thought it was sitting in a chair week for you.
But I don't think that... Well, that's a good one. But I don't think that changes anything. Like, it's still more stuff going on, yeah.
I just... And like, I know...
That's the most, like, face he can be, too, you know?
Look, I know that what these guys want is to make it to WWE, right? I know that.
They want a main event WrestleMania.
Yeah, no, I get that. You know, even the Ring of Honor guys, I mean, as much as as they, even though, you know, the full, you know, like the Briscoes, I bet if, like, they found out they could main event WrestleMania next year for the tag team titles, like, they would possibly go there, right? Because that's everyone's dream.
I gotta love the Briscoes. There's no way they could have coexisted in WWE.
But I'm just saying.
World. But anyway, yeah. I
you know, I. By the same time, selfishly, I never. You know, you talk about how Vince likes, big wrestlers, right? Like, he wants towering giants. He says it looks better. I love all the dudes who are my height, man. Like, meeting Johnny Gargano and seeing that he was, like, right about my height. I was like, oh, this is crazy. But when I saw Drew Galloway, I was frightened. All right? When I saw EC3, that dude was just yoked up. I was like, whoa, that's crazy. And seeing those dudes in a place where it only holds 500 people, you know, and it's a very intimate setting, just even makes it more impactful. I mean, LeBoon also has those low lights, so Galloway just looks so much taller, you know, in the whole venue.
Galloway changed the game, just in terms of the humongous wrestlers, who I never thought were that big.
Yeah.
But the first time, and it stuck with me forever, and we went to the Ring of Honor, and we saw Benjamin and Haas, and we were like, holy shit. These dudes are humongous.
Yeah. Up, that was so weird.
Everyone else on the roster.
So weird.
And we were like, yo, what the hell? Is this how WWE wrestlers really look compared to these guys? And that was it. Like, that stuck with me forever.
I mean,
so, you know, Galloway, there's no comparing unless you experience it in person, sitting in the front row, like, well, he's just there. Hitting someone, terrifying. But, man, like, it's a crazy thing when you see some of these guys.
And that death look he gave me after I, like, boot him? Oh, man. You suck, Galloway. Just turn around. Just, I was like, oh, shnikes.
Jesus.
And he was like, what's that smell? I was like, dookie. Sorry. I haven't thrown in a No Holds Barred reference in this show the entire time we filmed it. Or recorded. So I'm very happy with that. All right, so those are the WWN shows. You were actually bringing us to a Ring of Honor perfect segue, and then I decided to go Dookie. But so Ring of Honor had their show Saturday night at 6:30. It was actually originally not going to be on iPay-per-view, and we actually sat in an exclusive where we had Ian Riccaboni talk to us about how they were really close to trying to get it on, and they ended up getting it on. I think part of it was because the Hardys were appearing, and there might have been some issues about them being able to stream that live. You know, obviously with the Hardys contract with Impact running out, I guess plans were able to change. I really liked the show. It did somehow. Some of it felt a little bit like just a normal VOD. Aside from the tag team,
you
match.
Know what I'm gonna say.
I know you're gonna say
most all of it.
You're gonna say nothing like changed, or nothing was surprising.
It was an enjoyable show. I enjoyed the matches, but it was what it was from Ring of Honor.
I'm not gonna. Okay, so look, if for me. I really liked. Okay, I liked the Kingdom and Beer City Bruiser and Silas Young.
Care about that.
I like those. I like Beer City Bruiser and Young a lot. I thought that the match came off pretty strong. I think it made sense.
I just whenever I see the Kingdom, I just cannot help but feel bad, and I can't get over that.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
I was three guys. Like Taven, I really didn't like. And then two guys that I literally never heard of. The first time they came out, I was like, oh, yep, I'm in. And they didn't let me down. They won the belts. It was cool. And then they get hurt. And now, who the hell knows?
All right, fair. I mean, I do, but I like that there was at least the idea that Silas and Bruiser were going to challenge for the six-man titles. And then Silas stepped in for the injured TK O'Ryan. And then when he ended up, they ended up losing, and then, like, they had a little bit of beef because they were like, well, you know, you're the reason that we lost the belts. So I liked that. I liked how they took something that was a shoot, you know, and were able to change that. And Bruiser and Young are just that old school 1987 tag team, right? that I like. It's almost like the revival, but somehow better, because these are two dudes that you know.
Nope. Don't. What are you talking about?
What I mean is,
it's like the revival, but better.
Wait. Listen. What I mean is, the revival are smaller, like very athletic guys, right? Like they are, and that has that style from the 80s, but I'm saying that Silas and Bruiser look like that team from the 80s. Like, the Revival just wrestles like that team from the 80s. These guys are, you know, you've got, like, the bigger Bruiser who's got, like, the Dusty Rhodes kind of physique. I don't know. I just think they look like two, like a WCW tag, or not WCW, an NWA tag team from 80.
No,
yeah.
No, from like WCW 87. Was correct, because they're not very good.
Just like, wow, all right, I liked, okay, fair. I mean, it's just...
like being a fan of, like, that 70s guy, Mike Awesome, or that 80s guy.
Hey, damn it. I mean, I don't know what to say. It's just...
We've spent far too much time on this match.
Okay, fair. It's just, I think they work their gimmicks well.
Okay, like, yes, but there's a ceiling to Skinner. You can't, you know what I mean?
This motherfucker just said Skinner. All right. I think we've gone low enough. Let's move on. All right, so now Bobby Fish kind of surprisingly came out. He wasn't announced for the show, and he actually ended up having an issue with Silas. I popped for this. I mean, I know some people said like this was
skipped over that.
Really?
I fell asleep at some point during the show, and I saw the first match. I skipped, and then I saw the end of Bobby Fish Silas. I was like, oh, that was a thing. And I just kept moving.
All right. Well, I thought it was well done. I thought it was well done in like the way they were setting up the angle. Like basically, Fish was complaining about losing to Lethal, and then Young was like, "Ah, shut up, stop complaining." And then they started to brawl, like an impromptu match, and then it was like thrown out with DQ. So, if anything, for me, it was a bright spot because I'm glad to see that Fish is still going to be working with them rather consistently, hopefully. Squirrel versus Cole. A lot of people were really happy with this match, and I thought it was really good, but there was always that part of me that's frustrated with the continuous Skrull's going to face someone in a really good match who's really not going to be a threat, or because they're like leaving or they're not with the company.
Right, and I think it's just one of those things that happens when they have so many shows that they do that are kind of the team title is always going to be on the line for them, you know, for the most part.
Yeah.
So you have to have the Sanjay Dutts, and it gives you an opportunity with an Adam Cole who's leaving to put over, you know, Marty Scurll as, hey, this guy just beat the 3-time Ring of Honor World Champ.
Yeah. You know,
and it helps Scurll. Okay. It doesn't matter for Cole, he's leaving. And, you know, we knew this was going to be a good, fun match. It was exactly what we knew it was going to be. You know, they gave us some near falls. They gave us some moments. Skrull is awesome. There's nothing around that. And, you know, Cole is Adam Cole. He's one of the best for a reason. So, you know, it was a really fun match and another one that you should go out anywhere to see.
That's one of those matches that I wish I didn't watch Ring of Honor consistently. And you were like, yo, you should watch this pay-per-view. And I put it on. I'm like, oh, Adam Cole? And then, you know, thinking that, not knowing the information I know about the contract situation. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, I get you.
I'm trying to go through. So then we had a world. I mean, I'll kind of skip around a little bit. I mean, we can't cover every single match on the card, and there were plenty. I thought they did a decently good job with the intermission. They actually had taped shows before the show started. I mean, not shows. Matches before the show started. Including Martinez versus Kazarian, and I think we both thought that Martinez was going to go over here because there was more upside for him to win this match than Kazarian moving forward, because I don't think Kazarian loses anything as the number one contender for the TV title by losing the match to Martinez. So I liked it. I thought that they handled the intermission well, like I said. There were only like 12 minutes or so that I felt like was a little bit of dead air while we had to wait for it to come back. Then the world title match. And if this world title match had been different, I think I would have given the match, the whole show, a much higher rating. This felt like your ultimate not main event world title match.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't like the fact that the guy who just won the title and in a very heartwarming way then comes out and plays like the old crafty veteran and not just winning. I mean, it's his first defense. I think it should have been, and it's his first defense not just like for the like casual fan, but for any, like, it's his first defense. I don't think it should have been he kind of outsmarted Dalton Castle.
Yeah, I mean, but isn't that like what he's been the past couple of months?
I mean, he hit Jay Lethal with an Angel's Wings from the top rope to win the tournament. He's gonna roll up Dalton Castle. That's how he has to win the first defense. The second defense, I feel like it would be okay, but not the first one.
I don't see any problem with it. Like, yeah, he beat one of the best in the world in a career-defining like match for him, right? For a chance at the title.
Yeah,
of course he needed to go to extreme measures and hit him with some crazy move. Well, he doesn't have to always win like that.
Okay, fair. It just, for me, I was looking forward to a really strong looking defense, and I didn't feel like that's what we got here.
Yeah, and I was slightly disappointed by the Cody and Lethal bull rope match.
Really?
Yeah, like, it was okay. I don't know. For some reason, like, I guess I got overexcited about, like, oh, it's a bull rope match, and then remembered, like, oh, they wrestle in jeans and a t-shirt, and are always attached to each other.
I'm not gonna lie. The jeans and the t-shirt, the Lethal sucks eggs. That got me. That was like, this is a Texas bull rope match.
Right. I don't mind it. Like, it's the point of it. But it's just like watching it physically is just like, ah, this is weird. Like, you know, this isn't a normal thing. And I get it. That's the point. So it makes it cool, and then it just makes it a little strange.
Okay. So for me, that was actually one of the bright spots, like a brighter spot from the pay-per-view. I actually really enjoyed that match. I just like the throwback nature of it being a Texas Bull Rope match and the way they embraced it. So that was basically, for me, one of my, like, I'd probably say my second favorite. It's tough because the Volador Jr. match with Dragon Lee and Ospreay. I thought that match at Jay White. I thought that match was really good. Obviously, in a different way, but I'd say the Bull Rope match is like easily up in my top three.
Okay.
How did you like the? So you haven't seen Volador Jr. before, right?
I don't think so.
All right. So I've actually seen him on CMLL, so I was kind of excited to see him show up here. And I, you know, Dragon Lee's work has been fantastic. So these four are just ridiculous. This match, if you're into a match with guys pulling off crazy super athletic moves, this is the match for you.
Right, and you know, that's exactly what we said it was going to be going into it. We knew it would be that fast-paced, just kind of crazy match, and that's exactly what it was. You know, it didn't let us down, and you know, I don't know.
Oh, fair. And then the ladder match was, for me, ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then looking back on it, seeing that these guys were in two ladder matches in two nights is absurd, but
especially like they're old. It wasn't the Young Bucks. Like, it was, you know, the Hardys are a lot older.
Yeah, I mean, they...
They didn't pull punches in either one of them.
No, and, you know, kudos to them obviously knowing that they were going to be on WWE, you know, WrestleMania. Kudos to them for knowing that and going on Saturday night and putting on a ladder match with the Young Bucks that they made no attempt to hold back knowing they'd be at WrestleMania.
No, it was amazing. It was everything we expected, everything you hoped for. It was the Hardys and the Young Bucks, and that's all you need to know. You know, there was ladders, there was tables. Don't remember if there was chairs, but it was an awesome match. You know the Hardys, you know the Young Bucks, you know the moves they do. Now, just incorporate the tables and the ladders. You know what it adds up to. There's no point of us going through everything because we wouldn't do it justice.
No.
Just go watch it. And yeah, like you said, you know, when they cut the promo at the end of the match, when Jeff was like, well, there's nothing left for us but to fade away and be obsolete, I was like, huh, well, clearly means they're done with Ring of Honor. And it kind of made me feel like they were on their way to WWE. Like, all right, it's time for these broken characters to fade away. You know?
Was it later that...
I mean, you know, the next day they had the car outside of the broken cabinet.
Yes, that's what I was going towards.
Well, now it's more cemented. It just made me lean even more in that direction. So, great. I still was surprised. I still knew they came out. You know, hey, there's one more team in this match. I was still like, oh, maybe it'll just be a new day. And then... their music hit and it was bananas. So, you know, we can briefly discuss NXT and then we'll jump right into WrestleMania and talk a little bit more about that.
Oh, so, yeah, what I heard was that, you know, Jeff had said during the week that they weren't going to WWE right away and that, you know, they'd be with Ring of Honor longer, kind of implied that, through the summer. And then some people were kind of upset about that online because they were basically saying, like, he lied, and it's kind of gypping Ring of Honor fans because of that.
That's the point.
I don't care. Kudos to him. Clap, 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 okay. Clap, clap.
What do you want him to say? Yeah, we're going there and ruin everything?
That's awesome. Like,
they didn't announce him for any dates. They didn't book him on any shows. Relax yourself, people.
Like, good for them. And then, listen... There's no
mistake. They said they were telling people like that night, like, yeah, now we're just going to enjoy the rest of the weekend and head home. I can't wait to spend some time with my family, just rest up. You know, that's what you do.
Good for them. Good for them. Like, seriously, like, I'm actually very happy.
Great for us.
Yeah, no, and you know what? And then look, let's make no mistake about it. The fact that, you know, what's it called? The car was visible on, you know, the people were able to see the car. There's no mistake there. At that point, I feel like it was just like, look, these fans find out, it spreads to the internet, but the fans that are probably going, you know, most of the people at Mania will not, almost everybody,
right,
will not know about this.
And even though I saw that, it wasn't, like, yeah, whatever. I don't know. Like, WWE is in town. Who the fuck knows? Maybe someone's there hanging out. Maybe someone. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you put it in the back of your mind. You don't fully accept it. And then, boom. So, like I said, we'll NXT, you know, we got the debut of Aleister Black. Aleister Black.
Yeah.
So, the former Tommy End. Good showing from him. Looked good. It was pretty cool to see him on NXT. Then we had my favorite match of the entire
weekend. Before you do that, did you hear that I watched NXT last night? Like, there was this whole thing that Cien Almas parties too much. He's more focused on partying than he is on wrestling, and people are concerned. I just think that's amazing because that's totally like a shoot angle, right? You know,
it
like,
definitely could be.
Like that definitely happened with somebody, and now they're just and they're just putting it. It's fantastic. All right, but you said your favorite match.
The Triple Threat Tag Team Match, DIY, The Revival, and Author's Pain. This, I don't know why I'm ever surprised with DIY or with The Revival. I don't know. But, man, they're amazing. And the Authors of Pain held their own. They were right there with them. This match, you know, it was fantastic from start to end. But, you know, when they started double-teaming the Authors of Pain, and, like, they were just in the ring together, and, like, they looked at each other, and the place erupted. And you felt it because the Revival are those douche heels, and they're so good, and they win all the time. And DIY really is that baby dog underface. Wow, baby dog underface. Underdog babyface. So, like, they really have heat, and they really have that rivalry going. So they looked at each other, and the place exploded, and you felt it. And everything they did after that together, then when they, you know, then they started punching each other. It was amazing, man. It made the match, it made the atmosphere, man. It was perfect.
Is there any way that DIY just doesn't break up ever?
Would you want to see them like never break up? I don't know. Like I would like to see what they could do on their own, but they're such a great team that I don't see any point. When they're just before your thoughts, the Revival, when whoever it was, Dawson and Gargano did the double knee, that was sick.
Yeah.
And they hit the Ciampa, and Dawson hit the other one. No.
I think the work done by DIY and Revival could have put over anyone in that spot.
Right. But the Authors of Pain were good too.
No, they were good.
I get what you mean.
It was just so good that you could have put anyone there, and the way they worked that, I don't know who the producer on that match was. I don't know who came, if it was one of the guys who came up with that idea. But wow, God bless you. Because that was some of the most intricate storytelling that I can remember seeing from a match.
Because, you know why? Because there aren't heels and faces like that on the main roster. And you don't, like, when it's just one guy and it's just one-on-one, you don't ever really have them teaming up to take on a common enemy. Like, you know, while they're beefing. And it was, like you said, perfect storytelling. It was just fantastic at the bottom. Seriously, this should be, in my opinion, the first match that you watch from this weekend, if you haven't watched anything already.
That match would be, to me, the 80s equivalent of the Rock and Roll Express and the Midnight Express versus... Oh, I'm sorry. The Rock and Roll Express versus the Midnight Express versus the Road Warriors. Like, I feel like that's the way that match was worked. If that match had ever happened, the two, you know, the two long-standing enemies having to try to take down the very huge and just overpowering team that neither squad is used to. Like, and then what's amazing is that
Paul take out one of the Expresses with Anderson and
Tully.
Tully,
okay,
like
I get what you're saying. Because the only reason I said Midnight Express was because I just thought
just
that they're
the Revival.
They're enemies. Yeah, no, they're Aaron and Tully, 100%. But and the crazy thing is that Ellering, by the way, manages Authors of Pain, and he managed the Road Warriors. So
that's kind of the thing there. Like, they are the new kind of generation of the Road Warriors, and I really like them. Every time I see them, they're better. You know, I double power bomb cheers. I've said it before. It's fantastic. I really enjoy it. You know, it just adds a nice little element. Like, oh shit, that's awesome.
Yeah, no, man, and now you know the Revival's up on SmackDown. Good for them. I think that's gonna be
on Raw.
On Raw. Yeah, so we'll get to that. Let's just I'm a little different on the main event. I didn't really love it. I don't know why. I can't tell you exactly why. I just thought it was a little meh.
I mean, from the entrances and, you know, the glorious and all that stuff with Shinsuke.
Oh, that's great.
The atmosphere will never let me down. And I really enjoyed the story that they told. And Bobby Roode picking on the body part and just kept going. You know, hitting the DDTs and kicking out and every time countering this and that. I really enjoyed that match. I thought it was really good.
It just didn't, I guess on this weekend, it just didn't get me. Maybe it was because the tag team match was so good that...
That and I think you knew Shinsuke was coming up, you know? Like, you knew he wasn't winning, so...
I always
hate
that.
For you, it was tough, but...
That always annoys
me. I just enjoy watching both of those guys work so much that it doesn't... You know, same thing with Adam Cole and Skrull. Like, it was going to be a fantastic match, and we knew one of them was losing, but it doesn't matter. It was awesome.
I think part of it's like, and this is such a weird throwback reference, but when Kurt Angle faced Shawn Michaels, right? I did not know who was going to win the tiebreaker. You know, I really didn't. Like, every false finish got me.
Right.
I think Taker Shawn did the same thing. You know, and those are my favorite types of matches. And when I know, when I have this knowledge, this information about, or an inkling of, you know, someone's leaving, right? It does, for me, take away from it. And that's actually going to lead perfectly into WrestleMania.
Right, but, you know, the one thing I think, you know, it's not done often, but, like, I get reminded of the CM Punk, like, winning it on his way out, or, you know, those type of things that happen, and it kind of shakes things up a little bit. The Dudleys winning them on their last day at ECW, stuff like that, where it makes me like, yeah, I'm pretty sure Shinsuke's leaving, but who the hell knows? Hey, I'm pretty sure Adam Cole's leaving, but who the hell knows, you know?
Okay, I guess and that's great. For you. I don't know. I get a little bit too over analytical. No, I do. That's why whenever we preview a pay-per-view where I say I don't know anything about what's going to happen, I'm so excited. Like, those are the ones where I'm like, yes! I have no idea. I've been watching this shit for my entire life. I can kind of see patterns, but when I don't see it happening, that's when I'm just like, wow. Yeah, excellent.
Totally
excellent.
Agree.
All right, so Mania. Woo! I will say, after openly complaining about how long Mania can be, I actually did not feel that... I didn't feel anything like this year close to what I felt last year about length. Even, you know, right, I felt SummerSlam was too long.
I definitely think you falling asleep for the last hour and a half definitely assisted in that. But WrestleMania did not feel like it was 5+ hours at all to me. It really flew by. There's nothing on the card that I really didn't enjoy. Wyatt Orton was probably my least favorite. The SmackDown Women's was whatever, but Naomi winning was cool. But other than that, I thought everything was well done. It was executed nicely, and it was the proper result for the most part.
All right. I don't know why you had to call me out on that. You know,
it didn't feel too long for you because it was a regular pay-per-view.
But I felt like I was okay. I could have done it. I could have made it. I just... Stupid Pitbull. That Pitbull... I mean, and listen, if you're in the audience...
Like, you have a cell phone, you have a laptop, like, do something, you know? Get up and move. I don't know.
Perhaps if a certain podcast co-host would have been here to hype me up.
To hype you up or spend 2 hours waking you up.
It's a bigger apartment. You could have slept somewhere. All right. So, yeah. So, notwithstanding the fact that I had to watch it separately, I really liked it. I want you to understand that there was a part of me that almost had Statwife on the show this week. There were so many scorching hot takes from Statwife during WrestleMania. that it was amazing. It just like cutting about cutting out entrances.
And then you still got time to just lay down a quick interview with her. After on your own time.
I think we're. I might have to. I mean, the hate.
Just, you know, quick thoughts on Cena and Nikki Bella.
Oh, that was so. That's that match. So, I am very disappointed with myself as a broadcaster, because I unfortunately revealed to Statwife that this was going to happen. Inadvertently, of course, after she watched the Total Bellas bullshit, she was standing there and was like, "Ah, that's fucked up," and then didn't really say anything else, and I was confounded. As I thought it was 100% obvious to everybody that once they went that overboard with it, that it had to happen. When I told her that there were bets being placed, then she was like, oh, wait a minute. For real? So that ruined what could have happened. From the promo package, she was crying. It was... If she had not been in pajamas... Which I was too, to be fair. I would have taped it, like video, but I didn't feel that it was a nice thing to do to my wife, so I decided not to do it.
Good.
But that you obviously did not watch it with Statwife, and I think that your enjoyment of the match would have gone up tenfold had you been there to see her reaction and just the consistent crying for quite a while was just so good. Also, fun fact, Statwife cries when the crowd cheers someone with lots of support. So
they're just so behind him.
So now
it's inspiring.
The Undertaker match. Now that the cat's out of the bag, I did not watch it live. However, I watched it the next day, and I had avoided Twitter as much as possible. I avoided everything, really, except for like a brief flash, and I saw the hashtag thank you Taker. So I put it together. So I knew it was coming. I still did get upset, but wow. It almost rivaled the proposal. Like, the crowd adoration, and then the next night on Raw? It was so great. It was so great. She was just crying so much. Vince McMahon should just get her and then run any angle by her and know that's the reaction that's supposed to happen. He'll be like, okay, we can do it.
Yeah. Oh, that'll work.
Yeah, if Statwife's not paying attention, and then, you know, Vince would be so happy. He'd be like, I told you, 205 Live, doesn't matter. Because Statwife does not care about that.
She's the ideal fan.
But and at the beginning of the match, she had been saying, man, this guy just... When is he going to retire? When is he going to retire? This has got to... That's it. This guy's too old. And then by the end, sobbing hysterically. Wrestling. All you can say to that is wrestling. The match wasn't...
Go ahead.
I mean, the match wasn't... Technically, right? Like, the best match I've ever seen. But the story of... The way it was played out, just this idea that it really felt like Taker's last match. Although it's weird, because...
It felt like his, one too many match.
Well, yeah. Yes. Although, don't you find it weird that both Cole on Raw and then Lawler, like, later... They both made it seem like he may not be retired.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't really catch that.
I actually watched Raw Talk, I think it was. Yeah, I watched Raw Talk, and Lawler even continued and said, yeah, but you never know.
Well, I mean, I think that's just...
They didn't do that with Shawn Michaels. They didn't do that with Ric Flair.
Yes, they did. They always do.
No, they didn't. Ric Flair
is really old right now, and that can't happen.
No,
they talked about wrestling AJ Styles this year. Like, it's always they say that about everyone.
No, I don't
know. Goldberg said it on Monday night. I'm leaving. I'm done. But never say never.
But Michaels didn't
That's
say
that.
That's what
you say about CM Punk. Never say never. That's what you say. Right, and Michaels is done.
And Shawn,
he's not
and,
coming back.
And Flair, when he retired, he said
Flair wrestled in TNA.
Well, let's what? Let's move on. I don't believe that's even a thing.
Well, yes. So, Taker did not look great, and the match was, I guess, a little choppy.
Yeah.
But to me, that was the story being told. Was that Taker can't hang anymore, and this is Reigns' yard. And, you know, the beatdown with the chair. I wish it would have went a little further to get a little more heat on Roman, but I don't know if the Undertaker could take any more chair shots. So, you know, I enjoyed the match. I enjoyed the story that was being told to me. I, after it was over and, like, they went to, like, the video package and then they went back to Taker and he was all dressed up, I was like, what the hell? Why is he wearing his coat and stuff? And then when he started to take off the gloves and he took off the coat and the hat, I was like, oh, okay. And walking up the ramp, throwing up the fist, going down it, perfect. It was the way he needed to go out. It was absolutely perfectly done. And, you know, it's really weird because pretty much my whole life, most anyone under the age of 25, their whole life, like, this guy has been on the biggest show ever, and now he's not going to be there. And it's going to be really strange.
Yeah, I'm going to be 35, and I never watched a WrestleMania live that didn't have Taker.
Right.
You know, my childhood was, thank God for Coliseum Home Video, but my first live WrestleMania was actually WrestleMania 8 in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen Taker's always been a part of it. And, man, just thinking back on it, this dude was a wrestling... He's an Undertaker. Right? I mean, Isaac Yankum DDS was terrible. Duke the Dumpster Josie was terrible. Crash Holly, whatever. No. Bob Sparkplug Holly was terrible. IRS was like a ridiculous gimmick. Abe Knuckleball Schwartz, the Goon. I can go on and on with people who were branded with real jobs. T.L. Hopper.
The Undertaker and Paul Bearer.
Yeah, I mean, how insane is it? And it'll never happen again.
And this is why that you will never hear me say that he's not the greatest of all time. Because just the respect that he has, that will never be there. And it's never been there for anyone else. There's never been one single person that has been backstage that there's not anyone who says any bad word about, that it's not like, yo, that dude is a god. He is the man. He commands everything. Him and Vince are boys. There will never be another. Like, you know, he is... I don't know how to describe it. Like, the respect that guy has, it is incredible. And just taking that, and then you incorporate that he's been there forever. He's been on the top literally forever. He came in and won the belt from Hogan in his second night. There could never be another, because, you know, he's the dead man, and he could always come back, and he could always just show up every now and then. So that supernatural gimmick will never be there. So there's, you know, like the undefeated streak, that was just kind of an accident. And then it's, you know, when you look at it, it is the guy who, you know, runs the company backstage, you know, from a superstar perspective, who's just unbeatable at the biggest show ever. That's incredible. It's just... what an amazing coincidence that then became, you know, the streak.
I remember going to a WWE event when I was younger and actually being upset that the arena didn't feel colder when the Undertaker came out. Because I believed...
the entrance in person.
Oh, in person, yeah. I mean, on TV, I've gotten to the point where, It's kind of unwatchable for me.
Nope. I still sit there in utter silence, just like, you know, this is the dude.
But if he just walked a little faster.
So that's what I loved about WrestleMania. He came up halfway through. You're like, yo, I'm not walking that 80 yards. Get out of here.
I thought he was going to end up on one of those little... ramps, the carts.
They should have had those carts, man. 80 yards, that's beast.
Yo, if they would have had those carts, though, I would have popped. You know, and yeah, that ramp, by the way, the 80-yard ramp.
My God.
So I actually taught somebody who had put up pictures of this. He was sitting right on the barricade next to the ramp. And that was... It was super...
Can't see anything.
Like, from his seat, he couldn't really see. Like, you know, it...
Right.
You were relegated.
I'm looking at it. I'm watching WrestleMania right now. If you're sitting all the way in the back by the ramp, like, you can't see the people on your side. And then, like, there's no way you can see the ring, like, over that ramp.
Yeah, it was just...
But I don't care, because watching on TV, it was...
Oh, no, TV was amazing. Speaking of amazing, the Hardys coming out and winning their Expedition for Gold. I mean,
that's amazing.
Okay, let me ask you, and I'm sorry, but how TNA is it that TNA's angle ends with Hardy's winning the Ring of Honor, the Raw, Ring of Honor titles, and then the Raw titles? Like, that's so TNA. Like,
right, and the fuck that owl chant on Raw. It was just like, yo, TNA, you suck, man. Like, they tried everything they could to come back to you and work with you, and you said no. And like, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? You're still the same old idiots.
Okay, is it just me being negative? So I love the match. I was so happy with them winning. Is it just me being negative? Or, like, do you see this working? Because to me, after they... Okay, so, like, they're going to lose the titles at some point. After they lose it, how are they going to keep them relevant? Because look what happened to the Dudleys.
Is that a serious statement?
Are we just going to go broken?
You did not. No.
I'm not trying to be... Okay. I'm not trying to be
the
like...
The Dudley Boys were never singles wrestlers until they were way older, and it was only Bully Ray. Right?
Okay.
The Hardys were a tag team for the... You know, obviously their entire life. But they stopped being a tag team pretty quickly in WWE. And then they were there. They had... Jeff Hardy was WWE champion multiple times and world champion. Matt Hardy was US and maybe IC. But they're good. And obviously we've seen with the Broken and everything Jeff did in TNA before Matt got there. Hey, they're great on their own. You know, and so once they lose the tag titles and they have some tag team matches with guys and maybe they lose some matches, whatever, you can easily split them up and Jeff can be Jeff. And people will love him. And Matt can be broken, or Matt can just be doing Matt things, and he'll find a way.
All right. I didn't think about that. I just felt like at this point in their careers, they're a tag team.
No. They weren't a tag team last year. You know what I mean?
But last year is obsolete. Sorry. All right.
Also, yeah, we would be remiss to not discuss Shane and AJ.
Oh, my God.
You know, that was my second favorite match of the weekend, just in case anyone cares, but they don't. It was awesome. The Shooting Star Press by Shane McMahon. First of all, I feared for his life, because when he did the cross, I was like, okay. He's not doing a 450. Like, the only thing he can legitimately do is a Shooting Star. And God, please, Shane. And it wasn't pretty, but he got it done, and it didn't look terrible. So good for him. It was an awesome looking spot. And you know, that match, top to bottom, going through the tables, all the coast to coast, all that stuff. Well done.
How do you do that? How do you do the Shooting Star Press? Like, to me, it feels like I would try, and then I would just land on the back of my neck and snap my spine in half.
Yeah, done.
Just immediately.
You got to jump, and I don't know. I honestly couldn't tell you.
That was a great... that was a great opener. So much so that my son, who never watches wrestling, did chant AJ before he went off to bed. So I'm glad he's already supporting the right guys.
And, you know, like, let's give Shane some credit here. AJ is the man, but, like, has Shane ever really had, like, you know, people complain about, oh, Shane, you know, he out-wrestled AJ at points, or he out-fought him, or whatever. And, like, yeah, Shane, like, he trains in MMA, they say, and all that stuff. And, like, the guy has wrestled everyone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're all memorable. They're all decently good matches. So, like, yeah, he's wrestled Shawn Michaels and Kurt Angle and The Undertaker at WrestleMania. I believe that this guy can hold his own in a fight. And that's what it was. And then he resorts to the high-risk spots. And one too many, it cost him. Done. That's how it should have gone.
Yeah, I got to agree. You know, he was... He really went out there, and I think those who complain that he out-wrestled AJ, it's you can't have it both ways, right? You can't say you're not happy with AJ wrestling Shane and then complain when they put on a good wrestling match. Like, that's backwards.
Well, that's what people like to do. And, you know, AJ is the man. And he is right now that kind of Shawn Michaels-ish heel where, like, he can get beat down. It's not a problem. Like, he's amazing at selling. That's what he does. But he finds the way, and he wins clean. And, we complained. You know, this was a question I wanted to ask you. We complained about AJ and Owens, right, losing the belts. But I would trade AJ and Owens winning their match at WrestleMania for them losing the title at WrestleMania.
Okay.
You know, like, I think getting that WrestleMania win and having that moment is bigger than just going in the champion and losing. You know, I think AJ losing 2 years in a row wouldn't have been a great look. I think Owens winning gives him some momentum with the KO Mania and all that stuff. So, you know, that's a trade I'm happy to make when it's all said and done.
But are you happy to make that trade and know that the two most important quote-unquote title matches on the show weren't really very good?
Whoa. Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg was very good.
Well, what I mean is, like, again, it comes into my whole thing, but, you know, there's no chance to me that Goldberg was going to win.
You don't know that. He could have lost it on Raw. It, you know, there was always to me, like, what if Balor comes out and challenges someone? Well, you know, there was always something to me that could have happened in the back of my mind. But I don't care. Like, we knew Brock was going to win, but it was about how he was going to win. And it was about, could these guys put on a compelling match? And they did just that. You know, I enjoyed the brawl that they had, going through the barricade, the suplexes that, you know, we never thought we'd see. It was perfect. It was short. I don't care. It was four times as long as any other Goldberg match. It was really good.
Man, I want to give Brock Lesnar 10 German suplexes in a row. Just have 70,000 people going, 10, 10, 10. Just amazing.
Which could just, you know, we've talked enough here about all this wrestling from the weekend. But, you know, We can just, Ty Dillinger getting called up to SmackDown, you know, long time coming, much deserved. The crowd popped big time. It was right place, right time. I'm happy to see him on SmackDown. Nakamura also on SmackDown. We talked about that. You know, that's a game changer for them. The Revival and Finn Balor returning on Raw just, you know, cements everything they got going on there. You know, Vince coming out with the Superstar Shakeup for next week. Or, you know, it'll be interesting to see where they go.
I didn't. But, okay, on SmackDown, did it irritate you that Shane's, you know, like, update or about the Superstar Shakedown really didn't tell us what's going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they know what's going to happen yet.
But, I mean, no,
I,
There has to be, like, to you, like, what's the format?
I don't think it's going to be a draft. I think it's going to be, you know, this is trade season is open. Maybe some guys are free to talk with the other show, or I don't know. Somehow they talk about that. Anyone who's got 3 months left on their contract can negotiate, or, you know, I don't know. But there's definitely a few people that could use a change of scenery, and a few that I would like to see on the other show. So I think this could work out well.
All right, so I'm going to be Kurt Angle, the new general manager of Raw, in this segment. By the way, that was great. I know this is ridiculous, and with all the great stuff that happened, but one of my top five moments of the entire weekend, probably number five, but still top five, was...
my favorite five.
Was... when Vince was like, so we're going to need somebody new here. Somebody who was just inducted into WWE Hall of Fame. And boom. Teddy.
How came the Hall of Fame of player?
Oh, man. His bad dancing. The fact that he came out before Vince could finish. Vince's amazing job.
Yeah.
Of just his face letting you know that it was wrong. Everything about it.
Who's this guy? As soon as the music hit, you knew it was wrong. But, you know, it was sold so well.
And then just, Teddy, stop dancing. Yeah. Stop dancing.
Get the hell out of here.
That was great. All right. Yeah, but no, I'm really happy to see Kurt there, too.
Yeah, right. And the angle, the backstage segments, you know, that's not how you spell soft. All that stuff. You could tell that, like, he wasn't super familiar with everyone, but, you know, give it a couple months and it's going to be outrageous. You got a small taste, and even being a little awkward or uncomfortable, it was great. So the Sami Zayn stuff, just they. Poor Sammy, man. They're abusing him.
Well,
he's one guy I'll be happy to take off your hands to Tuesday night SmackDown.
Yeah, we're gonna do this. All right. So, by the way, I mean, just one of the things I thought that was one of my favorite moments of Raw, in all seriousness, and of the weekend, and just I think represents how amazing wrestling is that a man can walk to the ring in front of 16,000 people and have all of them chant, "You suck." And that dude could not have had bigger Kool-Aid on his face.
Right, like, to have an entire arena or 75,000 people the night before, or however many people at the Hall of Fame, chanting, "You suck," and it being a loving chorus, it being, you know, like a sign of admiration, not really disliking the man. It's awesome.
That literally, if anybody was like, "Hey, I don't like wrestling. I don't see the appeal." Just putting on that 2 minutes of him walking to the ring and everyone going, "You suck," and everybody is smiling, and he could not look happier.
It's a celebration. It's just, you can't not say, you know, it's just so perfect. It works so well for him. It was at a perfect time in his character. Everything about it is fantastic, and we were hopeful that it was coming, and, you know, they didn't let us down. It's great.
Agreed. All right, so I guess, although it's not a draft, right, and they're going to do more like trades, I just picked five people that I felt would be going to SmackDown.
Okay, and I hope you didn't, like, pick the five best people, but you picked five people that you thought would be going to SmackDown or to Raw?
I thought, as the Raw general manager, this is who I am. I'm giving you. I guess that makes, if that makes sense.
Well, that makes no type of sense, but okay.
No, I mean, like, okay.
Like, you should be picking who you want to take to your show, no?
Okay, so are we protecting the call-ups?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think those guys are going to switch shows. You know, like, I'll give you, you would say no to this, but I think it happens, and I think WWE is fine with it. I am very hopeful that we swap Dean Ambrose for Kevin Owens. get the U.S. title on SmackDown, the IC back on Raw, get the Shield on one show for whatever you need down the line, and Kevin Owens can run SmackDown.
Well, as the Raw General Manager, I don't want Sami Zayn.
I will also take Sami Zayn off your hands, and that just adds an even better layer. Like, what if they're in the same tree? You know, what if one of them gets traded, and again, it's, yes, I'm done with this guy. Damn it, no, I'm not. I think it's even better.
All right.
So I think Sami Zayn is another one that needs to go to SmackDown. I think the club definitely needs to go to SmackDown and get back with AJ Styles. I don't want to see AJ go to Raw and reunite with them. I think he would just let him be the man on SmackDown. You know, we saw him on Tuesday say, I don't want to go anywhere. And if it's going to be a trade scenario, then why would Shane ever trade him after he just said that, shook his hand, showed him that respect? You can't do that.
As long as they don't do, but what if they do that stupid match thing where then the winner of the match.
Yeah, I guess it could be like they get a pick, but I don't know, man.
That random.
Just taking him off SmackDown would be bad.
That random, like, bloom, 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 bloom.
I enjoy that thoroughly, but I just don't want to see him move to Raw.
See, I think as the original manager, I'm getting AJ and the club, and the AJ are going to be on Raw, and they're going to tease the Balor stuff. And then
right. You
guys get New Day.
That's not a fair trade. But I...
It's three for one!
No.
Three guys for one!
AJ Styles is the best person in the company. No. You know, if AJ goes... Like, what? They don't need AJ on Raw. Like, he's going to be with Roman and Finn and Seth. Yeah, there's too many people there. Let him run SmackDown like he's been doing. But, you know, I get it. You want to shake things up. But if AJ goes to Raw, then a Roman, a Rollins, someone has to go back to SmackDown. And I don't see either of those guys going anywhere because they're kind of thoroughly involved in storylines right now. So I think you keep them separate for a little while. You keep AJ and Nakamura on SmackDown. You build that show around them. And if you, like I said, you get Owens, you have Zayn, all those guys have history. They have intertwined on NXT or on the main roster already. That boosts SmackDown, and, you know, Ambrose can just do whatever on Raw.
I think Raw needs to get a little bit more red. So Becky comes to Raw and Charlotte goes to SmackDown.
See, I like that. I agree. I couldn't figure out who to trade for Charlotte. But, like, who does Charlotte feud with on SmackDown? Like, that was my only thing. Yes, she can help everyone, but, like, she should dominate that thing. So, like, if Charlotte was actually Sasha, but then that's too much, I think.
Hmm.
Yeah, I feel like that's too much of a shakeup. But I don't know. You know, the... One person, or there's a couple of guys. Like, SmackDown was tougher for me to sign guys to go to Raw. I like The Miz for sure.
Yeah, he can go. Yeah, I'd love him on Raw.
Right, Dolph. Like, would he want to go back to Raw? But I don't know what else there is for him to do on SmackDown.
Wow. This is very difficult to call when we don't know how many people they're
going
to move.
Right, what's going on.
And how they're going to do it.
Right. But, I mean, these are just guys that, you know, kind of need a change of scenery. The last guy that I kind of would like to see somewhere else is Luke Harper. Like, let him take this new persona and use it against Braun or, you know.
And then I also wonder, like, Cesaro on SmackDown.
Right.
But now they're the number one contenders.
Right. So that to me is why I maybe Enzo and Cass. I like your New Day call going to SmackDown. I think New Day SmackDown needs two tag teams in this whatever the hell it's gonna be, shake up. Because they just got the Hardys in the Revival. you know, they have a nice amount of tag teams there on Raw. So you need one or two of them to end up on SmackDown. And if you're going to have DIY around, then you could just take one. But, you know, there needs to be something.
What happens to DIY? Are they, I mean, they didn't come up that weekend, this week.
You know, that, like, are they going to cram Dillinger, DIY, and Nakamura into a two-hour SmackDown? Like, that's suicide for them. So I don't mind waiting a week or two or a month or whatever it takes for them to be around. I think they wrestled on NXT, so maybe they'll still be around there for a little while.
All right. Anybody else you think that needs to be moved?
No. But Corey Graves keeps mentioning, like, I just hope I'm on a different show than you, Saxton. And I think it might make sense for him to be on SmackDown. You know, if he's calling 205 Live, to make him travel is, you know, maybe it's a good thing working with Cole and traveling, whatever the case. But I don't know. It's, maybe they just make it easy on him, put him on SmackDown, let him call Tuesday. I was also wondering maybe about Neville. Like, what if Neville gets drafted to SmackDown, traded, whatever the hell? And then it's kind of just, well, since Neville's on SmackDown, the Cruiserweights are there too.
Oh, no. I mean, I actually finally get my wish, but...
Right, that also makes sense, you know? It's interesting because there's a lot of different things they can do. And, let's say they move AJ, then a lot of things change in what we just said, you know? Different people need to move. And so it's going to be interesting because, like you said, we don't know what's going on. We don't know how it's going to go down. So trades, matches, whatever the hell, it's going to be fun to watch.
I love wrestling.
It's in Uniondale. We should just go.
Is it really?
Yep.
I cannot speak about that openly right now. All right. Well, are we missing anything from the week?
No.
Is there possibly anything else?
No.
All right.
Everyone enjoy this 7-day bonanza of a podcast.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you guys enjoy this. You guys are going to be listening to this on Saturday, actually, as...
Probably Sunday and Monday, and it'll take you that long to get through.
Yeah. Actually, Runs and I will be heading down to Ring of Honor's taping in Baltimore.
Oh, I thought we were starting in Season 7 of The Wire.
Yeah, we're starting our own Season of The Wire. It's going to be fantastic. I am cast
It'll probably last one episode, we'll be dead, and that'll be the end of it.
I'm cast as a high school teacher who drives a 1997 Lincoln Town Car and gets lost in Baltimore.
And I'm just Herc's young cousin, so there you go.
Yeah, so this is going to be fantastic. I heard there might be an appearance by Snoop from the series, so...
She would kill us, and I hope not.
I really would be scared. I hope we don't get lost in Amsterdam. Nope. You know, I don't know. And I guess we will. I'm going to do my best to convince my co-host over here to... Listen, there's no convincing. It's a 3-hour ride from Baltimore. We are going to have an immediate reaction in the car on the way back up. Up on next week's episode, along with all of the regular wrestling discussion that we have, and also talking about some Evolve stuff as we're heading closer to those shows. And we're going to have a very fun podcast next week because we are off. So we're going to be very happy and excited and jonesing to cover some wrestling stuff. So make sure you guys...
Yeah, we'll have a lot to talk about with the draft and, you know, like you said, the drive home from Ray Lana. So I'm really excited to go to Baltimore and see Ring of Honor. It's not something I ever... thought that I would do. So yeah, it should be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to the TV taping and being there to see, you know, maybe some guys multiple times or just a nice long slate of matches. It should be pretty fun.
I'm very excited. Alright, ladies and gentlemen, well, with all that out of the way, let's just get into some reminders over here. Make sure that you guys, if to head over to iTunes, leave a review, subscribe and rate us. Make sure you guys do that because it actually helps out somehow. I'm not completely sure how, but it does completely help when you guys just take 5 minutes or less out of your day to do that. You can find us, of course, on iTunes. You can find us on SoundCloud. You can find us on Stitcher. You can find us on the Google Play Store. And you can find all of my articles on Ring of Honor and other stuff at LastWord on ProWrestling.com, on PWPonderings.com, and on ROHWorld.com. You can follow us on Twitter at RunningWildLWOS. We're on Facebook at RunningWildOnWrestling. You can also email us at runningwildpodcast@gmail.com, and you can follow my Twitter over at rich_Laconi, where I retweet random wrestling stuff and say things while I'm watching wrestling. With all of that out of the way, ladies and gentlemen, just want to sincerely thank you for joining us this week for our extended long review podcast, and we look forward to hearing from you next week. Of course, this is the podcast that is just too sweet.